Hello, hello, hello. I'm Louise Eddington. I am the Cosmic Owl Astrology. I am a wisdom weaver. I tell stories. I tell you the stories of the cosmos. I weave them together so that they hopefully make sense to you. I do this through these videos. I also do it through writing on my Substack. So there's a link to that below. I write daily energy reports on my Substack. I'm a massive content producer, but my main aim is for you to feel the energies working within you. So before I move on, if you would subscribe to my channel, give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. I may have to attend to my Luna cat every now and again. But I am here to do the week ahead forecast for the week beginning April the 1st. And my forecasts are always beginning on Monday. But this one, I might take you a little bit further because I am traveling to see the eclipse. But the first thing I want to say is, oh my God. Oh my goodness. I'm recording this on 31st of March, the last day, and I want to quote another astrologer about what we've got coming, in the month of April particularly. Rose Marcus is an astrologer who's been practicing professionally for a lot longer than I have. And her words, and I totally agree with them, but she just expressed it so well. She said, by the time April comes and goes, you could face a completely altered reality. That sounds dramatic, doesn't it? But she says, I do not remember seeing a month like this. April hosts three major planetary transits: Mercury retrograde in Aries, a super new moon total solar eclipse in Aries that dances with that Mercury retrograde as well, I'll add, and the rare Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Now, I'm doing videos for all of them separately, but I just want you to remember that all of these events are actually speaking to each other as well. This is changing our reality. So, buckle up. The weekly forecast could be a little bit longer than usual. I'll also link to my new moon eclipse forecast. You can also find on the Weirdly Cosmic podcast playlist if you're on YouTube my video for the Mercury retrograde. There's also the interview I did with Melanie Reinhart about Chiron, because Chiron is exactly conjunct the new moon eclipse. This is all absolutely kind of just like mind blowing, to be quite honest. So it does take several videos, but I'm going to try and weave it all in together so that you can just know that this is both astounding, amazing, unsettling, because who likes change? And it is what it is anyway. So, kind of, you may as well embrace this new reality. I am just going to pause for 1 second so I can actually let that cat out. I'll see you in a second. She didn't go out. So I may have to attend to her again. But anyway, let's dive in. First, though, this is the April image from the beautiful She Who Is Art on Etsy, her calendar. I buy it every year. This is her art too. This is Hecate. I just think, look at this. This to me shows what is coming. Now, I'm speaking of other videos you could watch. I know I do a lot. Is I'm going to do another one about the Leo star point that was began during the Venus retrograde, so the Venus star point, that is, that began on August the 13th last year, 2023, and how that is showing up now. But that's also all connected to this energy of major shifts that we are going through, this reality that we are changing as we move out of the old reality we've lived in and moving into this new paradigm, new world, whatever you want to call it. And I encourage you to embrace it with possibility and openness and open-mindedness, and not step into fear, because there's also a lot of fear going on out there. So I pulled three cards for the week ahead, or for the, I might take you actually just to the end of the ninth or into the tenth, because of my travels to see the eclipse. I doubt very much I will be able to do my weekend forecast next Sunday. So, oh, she's now waiting at the door again. I'm just gonna let her out this time. She's her name's Luna for a reason. She's very susceptible to the lunar energies. So let's look at the cards. And I'm not going to look at the book, because these cards, for us as a collective, are giving me a little of my own take on this. So I pulled three, kind of, if you like, for the beginning of the week, what's happening in the middle, and then on to the end of the week. So the first card I pulled, and I am using the beautiful Tree Devia deck again, and there is a discount code to buy your own deck if you look in the description of this podcast. And I'm really liking this deck now. But anyway, this is the Emperor reversed. Now, if the Emperor is the Aries card, unsurprisingly. So, and here we are with this strong Aries energy, and it's a number four card, which is a number of huge stability, but this is retrograde. And so this is really about the divine masculine energy, to my mind. This is really about one of the descriptions in the book for this deck is about balancing our energies. Now, this makes complete sense to me, because we are in a time of balancing the so-called masculine and feminine energies within. So the Emperor reversed is kind of saying, cool your jets. Let's step into the higher energy of the masculine, whether you're male, female, or whether we're talking collectively. This is really about bringing balance. And Mars, the ruler of the eclipse, is in Pisces right now, which is the spiritual warrior. So you'll see that as we go through all the aspects as well, right? So, all right. And then the card I pulled next is the Seven of Swords. And I also pulled that reversed. And so this is about being true to yourself and others. And swords are really about, our thinking, and our conversations and our voice and all of those things, and what we believe as well, or in our mind, what we think and believe. So this is about being true to yourself, kind of going within. Mercury retrograde, Mercury is thoughts, is swords as well, going within and listening to that true inner voice. Okay. And then at the end of the week, if you like, the third card I pulled is the Three of Cups, which is abundance coming. And this is about, this is a three. This is mixing mind, body, and spirit, in my opinion. And this is about gratitude for abundance and counting your blessings. And this is what's coming. I am still convinced we have very good things coming. And there's, of course, there's going to be some, chaotic energy on the way, but overall, at this, we have good things coming from all of this. All right, so let's dive into the astrology. And I'm sorry it was such a long intro, if you like. So, and I'll just, oh, that's kind of giving a little glimpse of where I'm going. I'm going to do include Beyonce and some of the other, and Taylor Swift and some others in my look at the Leo Venus star point as we leave that and move into the Gemini star point. Okay. All right. So April the 1st, I've just moved it to, this time where I'm at now, which is actually 2:01 p.m. Eastern on the day. It doesn't really matter the exact time that I look at, because I will give you the times in Eastern time, and you can use either timeanddate.com or World Time Buddy to convert to your time zone. I actually like World Time Buddy because you can line up the cities and you can see that whole day. But anyway, so you could put like Eastern Time, New York or Washington, D.C. in and line it up with wherever you are in the world. So April the 1st starts with a bang. April Fool's Day on the back of Easter Sunday, which is also International Transgender Visibility Day, which has caused a little bit of a kerfuffle in all the chaos we are in. And I have to say that's symbolic of where we are going, leaving behind this sense of separatism, also this belief that there's only one reality as we move into this multiverse. There are, we're moving into this multicolored rainbow world, and I'm not just talking about gender at all, I'm talking about in general. And it just, we are moving into this really kind of multi sense of reality. Okay, so, and this interconnectedness, I talk about it all the time. Honestly, it's altered reality, or what? It's amazing. But anyway, April the 1st is, a one. It's a calendar day one. We're starting on Monday, the first day of the work week as well, which is kind of funny. And also, it's a 4 months, which brings me to that reversed emperor of going, it's a little bit unstable, but we're going to find a new sense of stability after it all from what's all this is coming to. So this I'm going to go through hopefully fairly quickly, but I have to say it feels a bit like a cosmic joke that Mercury is stationing retrograde on April the 1st, April Fool's Day, in our kind of view of life, if you like. And Mercury is stationing retrograde in aspect to the galactic center. And we'll stay and we'll go through this whole eclipse energy and station direct on the North Node, which is what makes this new moon eclipse coming up a an eclipse, And so this is changing perceptions. This is going within to go back to that seven of, was it the seven of swords again? It was, I think. Yes, it was. This is about really kind of going within and being prepared to learn new truths and tune into what is true for you and being open to changing your perspectives. and being open to new possibilities. Aries is new. Aries is the pioneer. Aries is possibility. Aries is the young child. If you listened to my podcast with Melanie Reinhardt, we looked at the Sabian symbol for the eclipse, which was a young girl feeding birds. Birds are also mind. Okay, birds represent our thoughts in many ways symbolically. And the young girl, this young child, is feeding those thoughts. So think about what you're feeding yourself. Are you feeding yourself with fear, or are you feeding yourself with this sense of possibility and openness? Because new realities cannot be envisioned, but we can help to bring in the more positive by going, hey, this could be magical. So I'm thinking of one thing in particular, CERN, the Hadron Collider, and all, they're going to bash particles, protons, sorry, into each other on the eclipse day. So much fear about that going on. But if you kind of go and read the science of CERN, it's not actually powerful enough to cause black holes and do all the things that have been claimed. Now, I'm not the scientist, but what if it's possible that CERN doing that on an eclipse meant that they kind of found something that opened up the way to create unlimited clean energy, for example? Just, why can't we think that there could be good things coming? But anyway, that's just my view. But Neptune is also at the same degree as Mercury. I talked about it on my Mercury retrograde video a bit. And Neptune in Pisces can be fears and can be kind of that fear of the unknown, of what's coming. I don't like chaos. I don't like change, all that energy. But anyway, I've done a whole video on the Mercury retrograde, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But Mercury retrograde will begin at 6:14 p.m. Eastern at 27 degrees 13 minutes, which is also good to me. 2, divine feminine, 7, a most spiritual number, 13, the number of the goddess. Yeah. But anyway, also we start the week with the moon in Capricorn. So we're very much about limiting beliefs, determination, but also building something new as we move into this amazing time. But again, I don't really look at the moon's aspects in total on these week ahead videos. That's what my daily posts are for. So on to April the 2nd. And Mars, okay, Mars, I mentioned already, is in the sign of Pisces, where Mars, the ruler of all this Aries stuff, is more of a spiritual warrior. Mars in Pisces is the calm and peaceful warrior. And Mars is also coming up towards Saturn, saying it's time to stop this fussing and fighting and attacking kind of energy and come at it from a place of fighting for love, for peace, for all of this kind of energy. And that means everybody. That doesn't mean attacking somebody else for not doing it your way. That means coming at it very calmly and peacefully and fighting for peace in some way. But Mars will, on April the 2nd, square off to Pallas Athena, the wise, strategic, problem-solving warrior who just stationed retrograde as I record this on March the 31st. At 8 degrees in an 8 year, which is the number of infinity and possibility and abundance. We are finding our way into this new world. I really think we are. Okay, so up also on April the 2nd, you can see the moon is still in Capricorn, but Pluto in Aquarius is going to come up and sextile Hygieia, who has just joined everything else in Aries. And that's our preventative health. That's a bit of a deep dive into our inner gold, into finding our inner strengths and root strengths, and working with our shadow to bring in more holistically healthy life, identity, world. Each person, it's up to us how we do that. That's the point. So these are where my focus is. How are you doing your part to bring in the new paradigm and to create what's possible in a great way? The moon and some things you have no control over. So anyway, on to April the 3rd. Sorry. April the 3rd, the moon has moved into Aquarius. We're getting closer and closer to Aries, to the new moon. And the big aspect on April the 3rd is Neptune conjunct Venus, or Venus conjunct Neptune. Now this, we have a Venus-Neptune conjunction fairly regularly, and it's been in the sign of Neptune, since the sign of Neptune. Well, Pisces is Neptune's sign, if you like, since Neptune moved into Pisces in 2012. This one is right in the middle of all this other amazing stuff going on. And to get it, well, I'm not going to move it to get it exact, but it's exactly at 28 degrees. 28 degrees, 0 minutes at 9:10 a.m. Eastern on April the 3rd. This is two, again, the divine feminine. This is eight, that infinity, balance, harmony, abundance, all those kind of things which the eight represents. And it's also 2 plus 8 is 10 is a one, which is new beginnings. So many endings and new beginnings. Eclipses are endings and beginnings. All of these things. Wow. But this is also, of course, in square to the galactic center that's emitting new information into our consciousness, and taking out the old and bringing it all to the fore. So it's all connected as well with this Mercury retrograde, So this is all working together to help us to move into this new reality that's coming. And our free will is how we respond to this. Okay. So respond with love, not fear. And by that, I mean, don't kind of go, this is going to be awful. Let's go, how can we create this and say that it's going to be loving and possible and amazing? So, don't let this is about fear of the unknown, to be honest, to me. Just because you feel something might not be a good idea doesn't mean, and I'm all for intuition and feelings, is more fear of the unknown. You don't know yet because we have never done this before. Just more. So also on April the 4th, no, let's move on to April the 4th. On April the 4th, the eclipse energy really starts to pick up. 4 days from the eclipse, the sun will conjunct the north node, which is, the north node. It means that this is an eclipse that we are moving towards. I actually did talk in my eclipse new moon forecast about the Saros series, so you can go and listen to that if you like. About the positivity in that as well, which means, that all eclipses come in series. Okay. And so that the sun is saying, are you ready? Are you ready to start creating this possibility? All right, as we move into the no moon phase. Also, on the fourth, Venus, full of that rose-tinted spectacles. I didn't actually talk about that fully. Venus conjunct Neptune is that pink glasses kind of thing. Everything seems more sparkly, more magical. More, you can create things. Venus is exalted in Pisces. Neptune is the modern ruler of Pisces. This is a call to that higher love energy in many, many ways. But on April the 4th, after that conjunction, Venus sextiles. Do I have it? Oh, yes, Sedna there. Sedna, remember I've talked about her before. She is really the harbinger of huge change. And she is about to leave the sign of Taurus soon, which she's been for a long time, and move into Gemini, which is science, perspectives, thoughts. But Venus speaks to Sedna in this heightened moment that we're in at those anaretic degrees. So more liminal space of change coming. And what are we creating in this new world? I have really high hopes that we are going to create like clean energy and you know, but of course, you know, we're not out of the whole thing yet either. But then on April the 5th, Venus moves into Aries as well, and the Aries energy of new beginnings really heightens. Now, you know, I've seen a lot of posts saying about the possibility of war. Well, we're in war too. And there is possibility looking at all the aspects that, you know, the energy of war could increase because we do also have this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that last happened in Taurus in the, at 1941. However, 1941 with Jupiter-Uranus conjunction was also a turning point in the war. Okay. You know, Germany would not have lost without what happened around the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And I'll talk more about that in the Jupiter-Uranus video. But, you know, I was steeped in World War history growing up as a child because that's pretty much all they taught us in history when, as I remember. Look, all these dates, battles, and this, that, and the other. And 1941 may not have been the end of the war, but it was a turning point in the war. So stay tuned for that video when I do it. But Venus moves into Aries. So, this energy of new beginnings and the pull of this Aries eclipse really heightens. And again, we have free will with what we do with these energies. Okay. Now, later on April the 5th, Mars over here, remember now the spiritual warrior and the ruler of all this Aries energy and the eclipse. Is in sextile to Pholus, who is the Pandora's box centaur, who has been taking the lid off all that we need to heal and change. The centaurs are here to work together for a centauric healing process of dealing with all these traumas and this pain and all this separation, in my opinion, again. So that's kind of saying, you know, it's a supportive aspect, new beginnings again, 10 degrees, one saying we can look at all of this and decide not to do this anymore. Okay. Also on April the 5th, the moon will move into the sign of Pisces, and Mars will also, as well as sextiling this, will square. Talk to the hand asteroid Lilith. The rebellious kind of teenager, the young girl, if you like, in the symbol of the eclipse, the Sabian symbol, the young girl feeding the birds, saying, you know, choose what truth you feed yourself, true, choose what you believe and what you have faith in. Sounds simple, not simple. It sounds easy. I should say it's simple, not easy. You can choose to believe that things are going to be okay and magic. You can choose not to kind of look at something that's happening in the news and think that we're all doomed. Just saying. But it's what you feed yourself and what you tune into deep inside. Okay, so on to April the 6th. I am going to just move that. April the 6th. Moon is in the sign of Pisces, and I am going to mention some of those lunar aspects quickly. So the moon will square asteroid Lilith and conjunct Mars, and then conjunct Saturn and conjunct Nessus. And the moon is heading into the no moon phase, where the moon is invisible for 3 days before the moon goes, like, I'm going to block out the whole sun. But anyway, we're kind of soaking up what we need to know now inside, you know, while the moon goes through all of these aspects on the way to the new moon eclipse. Also on April the 6th, the Aries Sun over here will actually make a lovely sextile to Chiron's wife, Chariclo. Again, listen to Melanie Reinhart and I talk about that. But she is here helping us to weave a new story. She's holding space for healing. Oh, and Venus in Aries on also on April the 6th, newly in Aries, squares Vesta, which is the sacred inner flame, in the sign of Cancer, which is the sign of family, birth, youth as well. Birth to death is the Cancer Capricorn axis. We are being literally reborn. I keep saying it over and over again. And then Venus as well, lots of Venus action on April the 6th. Venus will sextile Pluto, and that is earthly desire and soul desire. What are we desiring in this new altered reality that we are moving into? Now then, on to April the 7th, and Pholus over here stations retrograde at that 10 degree mark. So we've got a lot of this 10 degree mark. And if you remember, Mars just sextiled Pholus, and Pholus is going to go back and just kind of check what lids have come off and what else needs to come off. Like I said, you know, this is the start of an altered reality. This is not kind of like it's going to change on a day, though some things could, but it's really the start of kind of something quite amazing. So also on April the 7th, the moon finishes up in Pisces with a conjunction to Pisces and enters Aries. And of course, that's when we really enter the eclipse energy. Later on April the 7th, Venus comes up and conjuncts Hygeia, preventative health. What are we creating in this new reality that we're moving into? And what do we need to do to bring mind, body, spirit together to be holistically healthy in ourselves as sovereign individuals, and then to help create the new world that we live in? On April the 8th, well, April the 8th is the eclipse. I'm not going to get the eclipse chart up because I did a whole video on that, but I do kind of want to just point out sometimes because Mercury and Eris are conjunct as well. She's the truth teller, the kind of pot stirrer who kind of reveals artifice and unfairness. So let's look at a few times on April the 8th. The moon, the eclipse itself, or the moon conjunction with sun, is at 2:20 p.m. Eastern. The moon will then conjunct Chiron at 2:21 p.m. Eastern. You can see how these are all so close. The sun will conjunct Chiron exactly at two. This is at least what this software says, at 2:28 p.m. So this is so tight, so close. Then Mercury exactly conjuncts Eris at 4:16 p.m. Eastern. And then the moon will come up and conjunct Mercury and Eris at 10:38 p.m. and 10:55 p.m. So that whole period is just a massive reset, mind shift, changing everything. It's amazing, to be quite honest. So I just think we can have to do all that we can to choose how we are facing this, how we are facing this new reality that we are going to be moving into. So then I want to quickly look at April the 9th. So the day after the eclipse, if you like, the moon moves into Taurus at 7:23 p.m. AM, sorry. We will not enter the waxing gibbous phase out of the dark of the moon until the moon moves 30 degrees past the sun. So we're still in the dark moon, but the moon will immediately oppose Haumea and square Pluto, these two big energies that are really kind of birthing and transforming something new as we're in this shift of time. Then let me have a quick look and see if there's any major aspects on April the 9th. No, April the 10th, though, early in the morning. So let me quickly get into April the 10th. Mercury starts to move away from Eris, but is still got to conjoin with the Sun on the Kazemi. But Mercury will make a lovely fire trine to Hecate. Hecate, the way shower, showing us the key to interconnectedness of mind, body, and spirit in my mind, so that we can find wholeness through the eye of the heart. But one last thing before that's the only kind of major aspect on the morning of the 10th, and I will be back at my desk on the 10th, so I'll probably come and do the rest of the week ahead for that week after the eclipse when I get back from my trip. But I do want to point out one thing to you. Well, Saturn and Mars will be conjunct as well, by the way, on the afternoon of the 10th. And I think that's a new start as well in many ways. And I'll talk more about that next week. But I do want to point out this Earth Grand Trine. That's really kind of there all week. Black Moon Lilith, I've mentioned it before, Ceres in Capricorn, and the Jupiter Uranus conjunction. And look at this, the moon's coming up to that at the end of the year as the moon emerges and moves to the waxing gibbous phase when the moon conjuncts Uranus. This Earth Grand Trine is pulling us down to Earth and saying we can create the new paradigm that, and we can create the new paradigm on Earth that feeds our needs and the needs of the Earth and everybody. But will we? Will we choose to? You know, I feel like I'm a bit Pollyanna-ish sometimes, but I can see the possibilities here. And I think the only thing that might stop us is our unwillingness and our fears and our refusal to see what positive could come from all of this. And I don't think it takes everybody to see the positive, but if we put that positivity out there, then maybe the heaven on earth will just come. Like, say, like the CERN thing. You know, do we know that it's awful time to do CERN on an eclipse? No. Maybe it's just the perfect time. Love you. See you next time.